gleaming at her feet. She stopped and picked up a handful of greenish globules. Doctor, look.
What?
Glass.
The doctor took the globules from her and peered at them. Almost, anyway. It's fused silica. Perry's earlier remark made its way through into his consciousness, and he added indignantly, I'm not a pain.
He began searching the area around them. Here's some more of the stuff. Now, why would anyone want to come to a place like this?
Why, indeed, thought Perry.
Who says anyone has, apart from us?
The patches of silica were fused by the rocket pods of some kind of spacecraft. He studied the globules more closely. Too small for interstellar travel, I think, so it obviously came from the twin planet Androzani Major. The interesting question is, why?
Maybe someone wanted some sand to make some glass so they could blow a new vacuum tube for their reticular vector gauge, Perry suggested helpfully.
Sarcasm is not your strong point, Perry. If I were you, I'd stick to... Aha! What have we here?
The doctor rushed off to study two tracks stretching away into the distance like wobbling train lines.
Aha! Mimicked Perry.
She followed him.
All right, Doctor, I'm looking. Why am I looking?
These tracks were left by a monoskid. You can see the deep furrow where it left the ship and the shallow one where it returned.
Or vice versa.
The doctor shook his head with irritating certainty. No. You can see where the light track sometimes crosses the heavy one. So someone came here with a heavily laden monoskid, unloaded it somewhere, and then returned to the ship.
So you got a merit badge in tracking when you were a Boy Scout. I'm suitably impressed, Doctor. Can we go now?
One moment, said the doctor absently. Yes, it looks as if the tracks lead to those caves over there.
Perry followed the direction of his gaze.
They were standing in a sort of shallow basin, its walls formed from eroded rock. On the far side of the basin, the low walls were pierced by a number of openings, presumably the caves to which the doctor had referred.
The doctor began heading determinedly towards them. Perry hurried after him.
Is this wise, I ask myself, she muttered.
Oh, well.
As they approached the caves, the doctor said suddenly, blowholes.
What?
Now we're nearer, you can see. They're not caves, they're blowholes.
Same difference, surely.
Not to a speleologist, said the doctor reprovingly. And not if you get stuck in one of those things at high tide.
High tide? I thought you said...
Figure of speech. Always eager to impart knowledge, the doctor explained. The core of this planet is superheated primeval mud. When its orbit takes it close to Androzani Major, there's a sort of tidal effect.
Perry shuddered. I get the picture. Mud baths for everyone. Well, it makes a change from lava, I suppose.
The doctor frowned, reproving her frivolity. Presumably, that's why this planet has never been properly colonized. Androzani Major, on the other hand, is getting quite developed. At least it was the last time I passed this way.
When was that?
I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't in the future.
You're a very confusing person to be with, Doctor, you know that?
The doctor looked a little crestfallen. I tried keeping a diary once, not chronologically, of course, but the trouble with time travel is one never seems to find the time.
They had reached the nearest of the cave mouths by now, and with this, the doctor popped inside.
Helplessly, Perry followed him. Although the doctor and Perry didn't realize it, they were not alone in the cave system. Not far away, a squad of soldiers was hard at work. They wore silver-gray uniforms with protective helmets and carried machine pistols. Their bodies were slung with crossbelts holding cartridges and grenades. Two of them were using instruments to measure distances traveled and the depth of the caves. The survey of this particular section was virtually finished, and the senior soldier, Trooper Bowes, gathered up his gear and moved on ahead to the next position. By the time he had reached a place he considered satisfactory, the rest of his party were a considerable way behind him, out of sight. Bowes set up his instruments in the new cave and began taking preliminary readings. Absorbed in the familiar routine, he failed to notice the massive shape that stirred in the shadows of the cave. Rearing up, it moved stealthily towards him. It was quite close by the time Bowes heard the grating of its claws on the rock and swung around. He saw red eyes, slavering fangs, great savage claws reaching out for him. Bowes screamed, and the creature lunged forward.